holding on Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, the third line. Continuing on topics involving Kiddush and Havdalah. And the Gemara tells us, Rav Hananya bar Shlemya, Talmidei de Rav, Rav Hananya ben Shlemya bar Shlemya and some Talmidim of Rav, have a Yasu b'Sudasa, were sitting and having a Suda on Friday afternoon, or on Erev Shabbos. The Koyalai, Rav Hamnuna Sava, and Rav Hamnuna Sava was standing over them and serving as their waiter. Amrule, so at one point they told Rav Hamnuna Sava, Zilchadi Imakdish Yoma, go see whether the day is Kodesh, in other words, whether Shabbos has begun. Go see whether Shabbos has actually begun. V'nikbe l'shabbosah, and if so, then we'll interrupt our meal, v'nikbe l'shabbosah, and we will establish, we'll make our hefsik, we'll actually do our kiras shulchan, we'll take away the table, as we learned a few days ago, about that in those days everybody had their own individual table, so we'll actually remove the tables, v'nikbe l'shabbosah, and then we'll establish our suda l'shem Shabbos, we'll have the tables brought back in honor of Shabbos. Amalahu, so he tells them, lo tzuchitu, you actually don't need to do that. Shabbosa kavar nafsha. The fact that Shabbos itself comes, that itself is keveya, this meal, as a Shabbos meal. In other words, that you don't have to, like this, you're already eating from before. The meal automatically becomes a Shabbos meal now when you're eating it on Shabbos. Now, we had a few days ago, we had the Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about that, where Rabbi Yehuda was saying that you actually have to interrupt the meal, and bench and then make kiddush and then start the meal for Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi had said you don't. You can even just continue your meal all the way until the end and then just make kiddush afterwards. And he said that Shmuel had said that you have to be kodesh mako makadish, that you spread out a cloth, you cover the chalas, then you make kiddush, and then that way when you uncover the chalas, it's as if they're being brought. Now again, so Rav Hamnuna Sava is telling them something along those lines, like this, because what happens is that what happens is now, because Shabbos began and you're not allowed to eat without kiddush, then that itself is considered a hefsik, and therefore, if you put a smapo makadish, that itself establishes that now this is going to be a Shabbos meal.
According to him, you're bringing in, you're making kiddush at the end means you're pushing off the Shabbos, not letting Shabbos
come in. No, so that was actually Rav Yossi had said you could make kiddush at the end. We're not talking according to Rav Yossi over here. We're talking according to what Shmuel had said over there, Potus Mapo Makadish, which Tosfos had said, that Ashbam over there had said that Shmuel basically holds like Rav Yossi, but he's a little more machmir than him. He's saying that it's not just good enough to finish the meal, you actually need to be Potus Mapo Makadish. Tosfos had brought over there from a Braisa that actually what Shmuel was saying is according to the Chachamim. So now Rav Hamnuna Sava is telling them basically the same kind of thing, that when you're Potus Mapo Makadish, that itself makes that from now on this meal is going to be a Shabbos meal. Precisely because once Shabbos begins, then you're not allowed to eat it. And in fact, by the way, when we talked the other day about Kodesh Mako Makadish, because we have the suffix, of course, when Shabbos begins, because you have Shkia versus Tzeis, and in between them, you have Bein HaShemoshes. So once it comes Shkia, then you're not allowed to eat. Then until you make Kiddush. So that itself, the fact that you have to stop your meal, the fact that you have to pause your meal and be Kodesh Mako and make Kiddush, and only then are you allowed to continue eating, that itself means that in effect, now you have a new kind of meal, a new Shabbos meal. So you don't need a separate meal for Shabbos at this point. This itself will be. De'omer Rav, as in fact Rav says, k'shem shabbos tevas l'maiser, just as Shabbos is teveya food as far as maiser, meaning when you have produce which you haven't yet taken maiser from it. So and the Rashbam adds also that this produce is loy nigmar malachta l'maiser. Although Maharav Ranshburg on the side of it here asks about that, but on the face of it, it only applies to things that nigma malachta, but whatever the case, anyway, you have certain cases when maiser hasn't yet been taken from produce, and when you're allowed to eat a snack from it, you're allowed to eat achilas arai, but you have six things that are keveya it from maiser, which make it that now you're not even allowed to eat a snack from it until you take maiser, and one of those six things is Shabbos. So the same way as when Shabbos becomes, that food now becomes usur to eat without taking maaser. We learn that from the fact that since it says the karosel of Shabbos oneg, so it means anything you eat on Shabbos is considered oneg, is considered something pleasurable. So it's not just achilas ara, it's not just a snack, it's considered an actual meal, and therefore you would have to have taken maaser. So the same way he says that Shabbos is peveah lemaaser, kach Shabbos peveah the kiddush. So also Shabbos is peveah as far as kiddush, meaning that you're not allowed to eat anything from when Shabbos begins until you make kiddush. So you see, therefore, so automatically he tells them, so your meal, once you break it up with Purdas, Mako, or Makadish, automatically it will be a Shabbos meal, and you don't need to do anything special. You don't need to take away the tables and bring them back in order to make it a Shabbos meal. And the Rif, by the way, the Rif has a somewhat different explanation of the Gemara. He says, the vort is, we say that Shabbos is Kaveh Lameiser, and what that means is actually as soon as it's Suffolk, whether it's Shabbos or not, then already you're not allowed to eat from it. A Mishnah in Shabbos says that during Bein HaShemoshes, if you have Dmai, you're allowed to take Maaser from it, because Dmai is only a Takona de Rabbanon anyway, that you have to take Maaser from it. But Vada, if you have produce that's definitely not Maaser, then you're not allowed to Maaser at Bein HaShemoshes, and you're not going to be allowed to eat from it either until you take Maaser. So in a similar vein, he's telling them once we have, you don't need to find out whether it's for sure Shabbos yet, even if it's only at Suffolk, whether it's Shabbos yet, namely it's Shkia, it's now Bein HaShemoshes, then already at this point, you're going to be also to eat from your food until you make Kiddush. But then once you do, then it's going to be a Shabbos meal. So the Gemara continues. Sovumina, now they thought, based on the Bnei HaYeshiva, thought based on what Rav Hamnuna Sova is saying, ki heichi dekovel kiddush kach kovel avdola, the same way as Shabbos establishes the meal, that now it becomes a Shabbos meal, even in the middle, just by being Kodesh Mako Makadish. And in other words, that as soon as Shabbos begins, we're saying it becomes also to eat until you make Kiddush, because Shabbos automatically makes Kviyos, and now it means the Shabbos meal, and you can't eat a Shabbos meal without Kiddush. They thought Kach Koval Abdallah, the same way it makes a Kviyos as far as Abdallah, in the same way, for example, if you were to be sitting and eating Shalashudis on Shabbos afternoon, and you eating until after Shabbos ends, that the same thing. They thought that it meant that you would have to break up your meal and interrupt and purdas mappa and make havdalah. The same way as we're saying when Shabbos comes in, as soon as Shabbos comes in, or as soon as the suffix whether Shabbos comes in, then you have to stop and make kiddush. They thought the same thing is true as far as havdalah. But Amar Lahu Rav Amram, but Rav Amram tells them, no, Hochi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said. L'kiddush kevas v'lo l'havdala kevas. Shabbos is only keveah as far as kiddush, not as far as havdala. Meaning, if you're eating coming into Shabbos, then you have to stop when Shabbos begins. You have to stop at Shkia and make kiddush, and only then can you continue your meal. And by the way, I mean, you could make kiddush before Shkia as well, because you can make kiddush anytime from Plag HaMincha. So whatever the case, there comes a point, though, when you're going to be also to eat if you don't make kiddush. But that is not true as far as havdala. If you're eating a meal, if you're in the middle of a meal when it comes Motzei Shabbos, you're not required to stop for Abdullah. You can wait. You can continue your meal, and eventually, after you've done eating, then you can make Abdullah. You know, you don't have to break up your meal for it. But the Gemara says Vahani Mili Le'inin Mifsak. Now that's only true as far as interrupting the meal. Zolei Machsakinan. We don't require you to interrupt your meal in order to make Abdullah. But you're not allowed to start a meal. You're not allowed to start a meal close to the end of Shabbos. Once it comes after Shkia, you're not allowed to start a meal. Furthermore, even when we're saying that you don't have to break up, you don't have to stop your meal, is only if you were eating. And eating a meal in Gemara terminology usually means involving bread. And most of the poskim say that if you were just eating mizonos or fruit or whatever, then you would have to actually interrupt. Some of them say maybe mizonos is different, but definitely if you were only eating fruit or something, then you would have to stop. But not if you were eating bread, you don't have to stop. Avobushsialoi, but if you were just drinking, then you do have to stop. Then you do have to stop your drinking and make Abdullah, because drinking is not considered such a davar chashuv that it should override the need to make Abdullah as soon as possible. Now, on the other hand, when we're saying that you're not allowed, that you have to stop drinking once it comes time for Abdullah, when we're saying that you have to stop your drinking, that only applies as far as if you were drinking wine or beer or other important things like that Ava Maya, less one ba. But if you were drinking water, then there's no problem with it. Meaning, in other words, that you're allowed to drink water before Havdalah. That you'd be allowed to drink water before Havdalah, and you can finish drinking and only make Havdalah afterwards.
Is that only the drinking water? That's only if you're in the middle of a meal or if you're thirsty.
No,
drink water.
However, we're going to talk about soon. We're going to talk about now in the Gemara the pros and cons of drinking water before and after before Havdalah, and then we'll get into what the actual halacha is. Tosfos, by the way, brings in this connection. Even when we're talking about eating a meal, Tosfos says that there is a minhag not to eat between mincha and ma'ariv. And in fact, the Tosfos mentions that Rabbeinu Meshulam used to develop a minhag in his place that people should eat shalosh shuris between mincha and ma'ariv. And Rabbeinu Tam was angry at him based on a medrash that says that a person shouldn't be drinking water at that time because what happens is we know that on Shabbos the Mason have a break from Gehenna. But at the end of the day, before Shabbos is over, soon they're going to be returning to Gehenna. So they so to speak, cool themselves off with the water. What does that mean? I mean, the Shabbos don't need physical water, but whatever it is exactly. The point is that, so therefore, we don't want to drink water between that time. It's like the toast was using the expression, goizel is krov of a mason, like he's stealing the water from his relatives, the mason, who really need that water in order to cool themselves off before they go back into Gehenna. And in fact, Tosfos mentions that one time it happened in Loisir, which is Lorraine, is an area on the border between France and Germany. In those days, it had big Jewish kahilas that somebody once drank water during that time, and then his life was in danger. So there's only the certain times when we're matu at Bekoishi, but ordinarily not. You're not supposed to be drinking between mincha and ma'ariv. So or eating, you're not supposed to be eating because with eating, you're going to be drinking water. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe we're talking about over here that they started the heter, they started long before mincha, and then in the middle of the meal, they got mincha, and then we're saying you're not supposed to continue. But yeah, if they hadn't, then according to this, we would be saying that you shouldn't be eating between mincha and ma'ariv. L'maaseh, and many people are knowing that they do have shalosh shuris between mincha and ma'ariv, and they don't worry about this. For one thing, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, another possibility is that actually this business about not drinking water during that time is not really so much on Motzei Shabbos, but rather on Erev Shabbos, when the Neshamas are coming out of Gehenna for Shabbos. That's the time to be nizher, not to be drinking water, rather than on Shabbos afternoon, as it's saying here in Tosfos. But anyway, the point is that, yes, so we're saying, in the Gemara over here, we're saying that drinking, so far, we're saying that Reb Amram is telling them that drinking water before Havdalah is not a problem. You're not allowed to drink, or you're not allowed to, so in other words, so far, what we'd be saying is, you're not allowed to begin a meal after Shkia, but if you were eating before Shkia, you're allowed to continue, or following what Tosfos is saying, if you began it before Mincha, and are continuing it after, and then you broke for Mincha, and then are continuing afterwards, but that's a meal with bread. If you were drinking beer or wine or whatever, then you do have to stop for Havdalah. However, if you outside of a meal, that is. However, if you were drinking water, then you don't have to stop. Then you can finish drinking water, and then you can make Havdalah. But the Gemara says, "Upliga de Rav Huna." Now, this statement of Rav Amram's that you're allowed to drink water before Havdalah disagrees with Rav Huna. The Rav Huna chazi lahu gavra the shasa maya kaidim Havdalah. Rav Huna one time saw a person drinking water before Havdalah. Omale, so he asks him, Lo mistifi marme askara, aren't you afraid of that you may get askara from that? Askara is a respiratory disease, they commonly translate it as diphtheria, whatever it is exactly. You want to mention in some places that it causes it blocks a person's airway, it makes it hard for him to breathe. Eventually, the Gemara mentions in some places it's one of the most painful of deaths. So a person who drinks water before Havdalah is putting himself at risk of Askara. Tosfos says it's midah keneged midah because he wants to put something down his throat. He wants to satisfy his throat with something to eat or drink before Havdalah. Therefore, he gets punished with Askara because Askara stands in place of chenek. And Marsha asks on that, actually. So what do you mean? I mean, there's a lot of other avedas that involve eating. You could say the same thing: a person who eats trade is putting himself at risk of askura. We never find that anywhere. So rather, Marsha says the vort is because there's a certain relationship between askura and Hashem's creation of light. We find in other Gemaras, for example, that it says that on Wednesday, which is the day that the Eibishter created the sun and moon and stars, is the Anshei Maimed would fast on those days to a tipple askara of a tinoikis, that children in particular, who are very susceptible to askara, shouldn't catch askara. So there's a certain association between the ma'oros. Well, actually, it says ma'oros without, it says ma'oros without a vav over there. Yehi ma'oros be'kiyashamayim is spelt without the vav, so we can read it me'eros, which means, me'eros means like curses. So it means particularly this curse of askara, which is such a dangerous, deadly, disease. So on Motzei Shabbos, Hashem started creating the world as a whole, and the first thing the Eibishter created was light. So therefore, it's appropriate. Maharsha says the vote is that it's appropriate to be not drinking until you actually make Havdalah, and therefore a person who does, then therefore he's putting himself at risk of Astra. Okay, whatever the case, the point is that sort of Huna is saying that you're not supposed to drink even wine before Havdalah. Water. The Tana Mishmei de Rav Akiva, as we learn in a Braise in the name of Rav Akiva, Kol HaToyim Klum Kodim Sheyavdil, anybody who tastes anything before Havdalah, Misos Leva Askara, he's going to be punished and his death is going to be with Askara. So therefore, so we see, according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Akiva, you're not even allowed to be drinking wine before, water before Havdalah. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Rabbonin, Devei Ravashi, like Kafti Amaya, the Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi were not particular about water, about drinking water before Havdalah. They held you are allowed to drink water before Havdalah. So the Maisen, Shulchan Aruch, it says you are allowed to, although it's better not to, based on what Rav Huna is saying. But as a matter of halacha, because we see that the Rabbanan, the Rav Ashi, said that you're allowed to, then technically you're allowed to, but not to drink other things before Havdalah. And this is all before Havdalah. Before Kiddush, you can't even do that. Before Kiddush, you can't eat or drink anything unless that is, again, if we're saying, if you were in the middle of a meal, then when it comes time for Kiddush, Kodesh, Mako, Makadosh. So to summarize then, so if a person is sitting at a meal when Shabbos begins, then they have to be Kodesh, Mako, Makadosh. Or if for us, who we don't always hold that Kodesh, Mako, Makadosh, and I'll be Kabbalah, it's not the right thing to do anyway. Then what you do is you actually bench and stop your meal before Shkia. Then at some point after Shkia or after Tzeis, you make Kiddush and you start the meal, the covered Shabbos. But you don't need to do that. Technically, you only need Kodesh, Mako, Makadosh, as we said the other day. And as Rav Hamnuna Sava told the Talmidim of Rav, who was sitting at this meal. So in general, then once it comes time for Kiddush, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything before Kiddush. But once you do, once you put a smacho or makadish, then your meal now becomes a Shabbos meal. You don't have to technically break up the meal, although again, not the Kabbalah and all minhag is that we do. And then when it comes, on the other hand, when it comes Motzei Shabbos, so if you were just sitting and drinking, or if you were eating non-bread meal, then you do have to stop and make Havdalah. If you were eating a bread meal, then you're not required to stop. Then you can continue eating and drinking until you're finished, and then you'll bench, and then you'll make Havdalah. And as far as eating and drinking before Havdalah, outside of that, you're not allowed to, with the exception that you're allowed to drink water, although it's still better not to. New question. Suppose a person did not make Kiddush on Friday night. Is he allowed to instead make Kiddush anytime during the rest of Shabbos? So we're talking about now, obviously, by day you make Kiddush, and we're going to talk about that Kiddush tomorrow. The Gemara calls it Kiddush Rabbah, but the by day is really only the Bracha Bar Priyagofen. All the Psukim that we say before, it is only a matter of minhag. But here we're talking about, by night, you have also the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvayis HaBaratza Banu. So if a person did not make Kiddush Friday night, for whatever reason, whether B'Shoigig, B'Mezid, B'Oinus, what have you, can he make it during the daytime on Shabbos? Omale, so Rav Nachman Yitzchok answers, we can answer this, Mida Amri B'nei Rav Chiya, based on what the sons of Rav Chiya said, which we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Mishalei Hivdil B'Mitzvayis Shabbos, that if a person did not make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, then he can make Havdalah throughout the following week, or not the entire week. We're going to learn later on on Daf Kuf Vav, that actually it really only means until Tuesday. But we see, in other words, that if a person missed Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, then he can make it up during one of the following days. Hachanami, the same thing over here. Mishloi Kiddush, right of Shabbos, Mekadosh v'holach polayim kulin. Yes, if a person did not make Kiddush on Friday night, then he could make Kiddush during any time during the rest of Shabbos. So now, the Gemara is going to ask on this, and then we're going to answer, but this is going to end up being the halacha. One thing it does say in Shulchan Aruch is that if that happens, if a person is making the full Kiddush during the day rather than during the night, then you don't say Vayichulu. Because Vayichulu, the whole point is, you're saying that the Eidushna completed the work of Maisa Bereshis. Well, when did he complete that? On Friday evening, going into Shabbos, as Rashi says on the plastic over there, that a human being has to stop sometime earlier, but the Eivishter, who knows times, the exact microsecond, was able to stop at a time when to us it would look like he was working on Shabbos, but that's only Friday night is relevant to say that. Shabbos morning, it's not relevant to say that anymore, therefore we leave that out. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eisi. Ravina asked on Rav Nachum Yitzchak a question based on a braisa. The Braisa says, Leile Shabbos v'Leile Yavtev, on the night going into Shabbos and the night going into Yavtev, Yesh ben Kiddush ala Kois, you say Kiddush on a cup of wine on those, the Yesh ben Askarav v'Birkas Hamazon, and you mention them in benching, Ritzei or Yalav v'Yavei, respectively. Shabbos v'Yavtev ain ben Kiddush ala Kois. On the other hand, during the daytime of Shabbos and the daytime of Yom Tov, you don't have a real Kiddush on the Kodesh. You do have to make Kiddush, but the Kiddush is only the Bracha Boda Priyan Gopin. There's no Bracha specifically for Kiddush for that. V'yesh v'hen askar v'berkas hamazin, but by day, Shabbos and Yom Tov, you still have to say Ritzei or Yalav Yavi respectively. Now, so the Braisa is telling us that by day, you don't have Kiddush. The East Alphadayat, Mishalei Kiddush v'ed of Shabbos, v'kaddish v'hoylech v'layim kolay. If you're going to tell me that if somebody did not, like you were saying, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that if a person did not make Kiddush on Friday night, then he can make Kiddush any time during the rest of the day, well then, Shabbos v'yom tov nami mashkachas lahu, v'yesh ben kiddush ala kos. Then what do you mean as a blanket statement, you never have kiddush ala kos on Shabbos day or on Yom Tov day? You do have sometimes kiddush ala kos, meaning the full kiddusha, where you actually say in the bracha, asher kiddushanim mitzvayisav v'ratzabanu, or asher bacha banu mitolam. The Ela Kiddush Me'udra, because you have the case. If a person did not make Kiddush the night before, Mekadosh Lamacha, then he's making the Kiddush by day. So you do have a case where a person is making the Kiddush by day. But the Braisa is saying you don't have Kiddush by day, implying that you don't have this rule that you're saying. Amalei, Sir Nachman Yitzchak says, very simple. The Ela Katoni. The Braisa is telling you what you do Lachatchila. The Braisa is not telling you what happens if you did. If a person was Peshea or something happened or whatever and he wasn't Bakayan, what the Chachamim are saying. The Braisa is telling us the normal way of doing things. The normal way is there's no special Kiddush by day because you just have the Baruch HaBorek Pei HaGofen and nothing else. Not to say that if a person didn't, for whatever reason, make the night before, that he wouldn't make now. In fact, he does. The Gemara says, Eisvi. Ravina brought another contradiction to the Nachman Yitzchak. A Braisa says, Kvoid yom, kvoid laila, when it comes to the honor of the daytime of Shabbos versus the honor of the nighttime. So let's say, for example, Rashi and the Rashbam say, let's say a person doesn't have enough meal, let's say a person doesn't have enough wine for both the nighttime meal and the daytime meal. Remember, in those times, they drank wine during the meal as well. Or if a person has, let's say, extra good food, that he could serve either by night or by day. So kvod yom kodem, the honor of the daytime is more important because the daytime is kind of more the primary part of Shabbos or of Yom Tov, and therefore that's what you should be mechabed more. But the in ein lo ela kois echad. But if the person only has one single cup of wine, oimer olav kiddush hayom, then you say on it kiddush of the day, meaning the Kiddush by night. It's called Kiddush HaYoim. And now, it's kind of confusing because in the middle of the Braisa here, we're sort of switching the meaning of the word Yoim. Remember, the word Yoim, just like in English, the word day can mean the entire 24-hour period, or it can mean day as opposed to night. So first, we were using Yoim as opposed to Laila, meaning the daytime as opposed to the nighttime of Yom Tov. Here, when we say Kiddush HaYoim, though, what the word Kiddush HaYom means the Kiddush with which we're inaugurating the entire day, the entire 24-hour period of Shabbos or of Yom Tov. So if you only have the one cup of wine, then the Braisa is saying that you make Kiddush on it at night because Kiddush by night is more important than the kavod of the day. So you shouldn't think, in other words, I'll save that cup of wine for the daytime meal and drink it during the meal. No, you should use it for Kiddush before, but you should do it, use it for Kiddush on Friday night. Because Kiddush by night, to make the whole day be considered Kiddush, to declare that the whole day is Kiddush, that comes ahead of covered for the day and covered for the night. So therefore you should be using it for, Kiddush by night.
And I would say, Varai is that Friday night you say a long Kiddush and Shabbat by day you say short Kiddush.
Right. So that's the point. In other words, so we're saying that in other words, the order of preference is Kiddush Laila, then covered Yom, and then covered Laila. Right. So the point is, Ravina says to him, V'im Issa. Now, if you're going to tell me what you're saying, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that if you don't have, that if you miss Kiddush by night, then you do it by day. So why are we saying, given the choice, that what you should do is use this one cup of wine that you have for Kiddush by night, and then you're not accomplishing covered for the daytime meal at all. Instead, we have a better idea. Lishbeke Adlamacher, save this one cup of wine for the next day, Vilev Beitarti, and that way you can accomplish two things with it. Number one, you're still not going to miss the Kiddush, because you're going to be making the entire Kiddush, including the Bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos, by day, and you're going to be accomplishing that you also have covered Ayin. It's true that it's not during the Suda, it's before the Suda. Nevertheless, it still accomplishes to a certain extent covered for the daytime meal. So therefore, so fine. Ordinarily, what you would say is, of course, you should be making Kiddush by night rather than waiting for the next day. But in this case, where if you do that, you're not going to have Kiddush Hayom. You're not going to have covered Hayom. Isn't it better to save it for the day and then you'll have both? So if we say, so in other words, Ravina is saying like this. If you say that once you miss Kiddush by night, then that's it, you can't make it up, well then, okay, we understand. Kiddush by night is more important than covered Ayyim, so they will make Kiddush by night, because otherwise if you don't make it by night, then you're going to lose the opportunity. But you, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, are telling us that you could make that long Kiddush that usually you would say by night, you could make it during the day. So in that case, in this particular case, where you're not going to have covered Ayyim at all, then that should be an important factor. Important enough to say that by night you shouldn't be making Kiddush, and then by day you'll make Kiddush on bread instead, and then by day you use this cup of wine for Kiddush and also for covered ayin. Amalei, sort of Nachman Yitzchak answers him, fine, but Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, the mitzvah in its proper time is precious, is important to do. We learned that actually that Rashbam refers to. We learned earlier in the Masechta when we were talking about the idea that you have fats of the korbanos that were brought on Shabbos or that were brought on Yom Tov. In principle, you could what?
The carbon Pesach.
Oh, the carbon Pesach also, right? So we said you could. The carbon Pesach we said actually only if they're only if Erev Pesach was Shabbos actually, because if not, then you have to finish them before Shkia anyway, because chel ve'chol can't be brought on the Mizbeach on Yom Tov. But yeah, the point is, in other words, we talked about the idea. Let's say, for example, so you have korbanos that were brought on Shabbos. Now, in principle, you could wait until Matzoi Shabbos, on regular Matzoi Shabbos, let's say. Let's say Shabbos is not Erev Pesach, a regular Erev Shabbos during the year. Why is burning those Doicha Shabbos if that could be done after Shabbos? Mela shechting the korbanos and sprinkling the blood and whatever, the Talmud and the Mustaf or whatever, those are Doicha Shabbos, of course, because we learned before, b'moyadoi, and therefore they take place on Shabbos. But why the heck the chalav ve'evorim could be done after Shabbos ends? Why don't we just leave it for then instead of doing it Shabbos? And the answer is, because chaviva mitzvah shaita, it's always better to do a mitzvah at the first possible opportunity, so therefore it's the same thing over here. Yes, it's true if you do that, you're not going to have covered yayin. But on the other hand, chaviva mitzvah shaita is an important enough reason to do the Kiddush by night on this one cup of wine that you have. So Ravina asks him, "Mi amirin chaviva mitzvah shaita? Do we really say chaviva mitzvah shaita? That the importance of a mitzvah in its time, that is fine, we say that by the korbanos. Do we say that as far as brachas as well? We have a counter example. V'hatanya, we learned in a braisa, which we learned a few days ago. Hanichvas levesed b'metzoy Shabbos. If a person comes home on Motzei Shabbos, the pashtus meaning that he came home from shul, mevorach ala yayin, he makes a bracha first on the wine. He makes Abdullah, in other words, so he makes a bracha on the wine, bala mur, then he makes the bracha on the candle, bala besamim, and then on the besamim, which we learned a few days ago, and we're going to learn over here now, is according to Reb Meir's version of how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about it, because we said over there that Rabbi Yehuda holds a different version of how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued, and we go according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, which is why we do the Besamim first. Okay. Only then does he, and then he says the bracha Havdalah over that same cup of wine. As we learned the other day, that Ashbam said the vort is, since the bracha of Havdalah is long, then we leave it for last. The other three brachas are one line brachas. But the key thing is the braisa continues being aimly elektoisa. But if the person only has one cup of wine, so now if he has two or more cups of wine, then fine. After he makes Havdalah, he'll sit down to his Matzoi Shabbos meal. He'll sit down to Malava Malka. He'll wash. He'll have a meal. Then at the end, he's going to need a cup of wine for Birkas HaMazon. No problem. He has more wine available. But suppose that he only has the one cup of wine, and therefore if he uses it for Havdalah, then he's not going to have it for Birkas HaMazon. Then Manichoy Ad La'achar HaMazon. Then what he does is he saves that wine until after the meal. He makes a chain of brachas after it. In other words, he has the meal, he benches, then he makes the bracha bird of priagofen at the end of benching, then he continues with the rest of the brachas al Abdallah, and then he drinks that wine. We brought this the other day because we were asking about the idea where you have, we say, ein osin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, that you don't do mitzvahs in bunches, so how can you use the same cup of wine for two different mitzvahs, for benching and for Abdallah? And we said here it's different, because the fact is, here he only has the one cup of wine, and therefore it's not a matter of osin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. If he uses it for one, he's not going to have it for the other. The point is, in other words, that we don't say chaviva mitzvah v'shaita. Chaviva mitzvah v'shaita would tell us that he should make Havdalah right away, even if that means that he's not going to have a cup of wine for benching, because he should be making Havdalah as soon as possible after Shabbos, because that's the proper time for Havdalah, is right after Shabbos. So v'loyam min chaviva mitzvah v'shaita. We don't say this is chaviva mitzvah v'shaita. So why are you applying in the case where he has only one cup of wine between Friday night and Shabbos day, and you're telling him use the one cup of wine for Friday night kiddush, even though it means that you're not going to have any wine with your meal for Shabbos day, and therefore you don't have kavod ayoyim, and you're saying the reason is because chaviva mitzvah v'shaita, but here we say you don't apply chaviva mitzvah v'shaita. You have your meal, you bench first, and only then do you make havdalah. Now, Tosfos gets into the question, by the way, that didn't we say before you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah? So one answer is, Tosfos brought an explanation from Rabbeinu Nissim that we're talking about over here, where he was already eating the meal before, and now comes Matzah Shabbos. And we said on Amud Aleph that if you're eating a meal and it extends into Matzah Shabbos, then you don't have to break your meal for Havdalah. So therefore, he can finish his meal and then bench. Tosfos doesn't really like that explanation so much, though, because the expression in the Gemara, hanichnas lebeisai, implies that he's first coming home now, not that he was eating before and now comes Matzah Shabbos. So Tosfos doesn't really like that answer that from Rabbeinu Nissim that much. Tosfos's answer actually is also Tosfos points out the context of the Gemara that we're going to bring it over here, where we're going to show that our Braisa teaches us a lot of dinim. One of them is that even if you ate, you're still able to make Havdalah afterwards. If you were over and ate. If you were eating beheter, then there's no chiddush in that. So according to Rabbeinu Nissim's explanation, how did that work? So Tosfos' answer is over here. Since this braisa holds, as we're going to say soon, that you have to do birkas hamazon on a cup of wine, therefore that over, and because over here you only have the one cup of wine, therefore that overrides the usual rule about not eating and drinking before Havdalah, and therefore in this case he'd even be allowed to have his meal for the night before Havdalah in order to be able to use the cup for both birkas hamazon and Havdalah. Anyway, the point is, Ravina is saying to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so there's an example where we don't say chaviva mitzvah shaita. We say that you save Havdalah for only after benching in order to be able to use the same cup for both. Whereas according to your rule of chaviva mitzvah shaita, we should say, go ahead and make Havdalah now. That means you're not going to have a cup of wine for benching. Okay. But at least you accomplish the mitzvah of Havdalah in its proper time. Amalei, sort of Nachman Yitzchak answers him with an introduction. Loi hakima ana. I am not a chacham. In other words, this that I'm saying, chaviv mitzvah shaita, don't think I'm saying it based on my own chokhmah, based on my own das. I'm not a choizeh, like a seer, Rashi and the Rashbam say magid, like somebody who's able to just like tell the future or something. I'm not saying it in the name of one individual, in the name of a yachid. Rather, this is what I learned, Gemara Meloshin Gemara, this is what I learned in Yeshiva, the Sadauna Anna, and I am the Sadr, I'm always careful to be the Sadr to arrange my teachings in front of my Rebbeim, to make sure that I have everything straight, to make sure that I have everything clear. The Chain Modin Bevein Medrash HaKavosi, and they pass in fact in the Beis Medrash, like what I'm saying, that in this case of Kiddush, we do say Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. The Rashbam gives a different explanation of what he means with loy chakima, loy chazah, etc. He's saying that what I said, that you, that what I said, forget about chaviv mitzvah shayt, the first rule that I said before on Amud Aleph, that you could make kiddush throughout the entire day of Shabbos, if you missed it by night, don't think that I made it, don't think that I came up with it on my own. And as that, as well as the Tirutz Chaviv Mitzvah Shaita, V'loi Gamarna, now I didn't explicitly learn it from my Rebbeim, Ela Sadauna Ana, but I looked into the Seder and I carefully analyzed and figured out what the Seder of things should be to understand the basis of these halachas and therefore to know what to do. And therefore I'm telling you that I found it to be correct, as he's going to explain in a second what the Svara is. So the Svara is, Shiny Lon Ben Ayula Yoma La Puki Yoma. There's a big difference between bringing in the day of Shabbos or Yom Tov with Kiddush versus letting the day out with Havdalah. The difference is, Ayula Yoma Kol Kama D'Maktaminin Lay Odif, when it comes to bringing in the day, when it comes to welcoming Shabbos or Yom Tov with Kiddush, because it's a precious thing, and because we want to, the earlier we do it, Odif is better, and we want to show Chibuv Mitzvah. We want to show the preciousness of the mitzvah by doing it as early as possible, to welcome in the Shabbos or the Yom Tov. So therefore, so better that we should be able to make Kiddush in the evening and be able to make a full Kiddush and be able to say all the brachas in order, because Zrizin Makdim and LeMitzvahs and Chaviva Mitzvah Shait. So this way we can bring in Shabbos as fast as possible. On the other hand, when it comes to letting the day out, when it comes to making Abdullah, we would rather delay it as long as possible. So at least, fine, in a normal case, we say we want to make Abdullah on Matzoi Shabbos, but we want to at least delay it when you have a case like this, when you only have one cup of wine, then whatever excuse that we can find to delay Abdullah, such as in this case, when we tell them delay it until after Birkas HaMazon, better to do that. We would rather delay it. It doesn't look like Shabbos or Yom Tov is a burden to us, and we want to get rid of it as fast as possible. So that's the difference. Why, when it comes to Kiddush, we're going to say Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, but not by Havdalah, because by Havdalah Adrabah, we would rather delay Havdalah if we have a reason, if we have a valid reason to delay. The Or Sameach has a very, very interesting explanation about this phrasing that Rav Nachman Yitzchok uses, where he says, Leichakiman, or Leichizan, or Leichidonan, and he says like this. We had a couple of blocks ago, we had a seven-way machloikus about what the order is when Yom Tov ends and Shabbos is beginning, and we have to do Kiddush, and we have to do Abdullah, what order we should do it in. We have seven different opinions of how we arrange the four brachas over there, Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, and Abdullah. We have Rav, Shmuel, Levi, Rabba, etc., etc. So one of the big arguments that we were saying over there was the question, what comes first, Kiddush or Abdullah? So we had Rav saying that Kiddush comes before Abdullah. On the other hand, we have Shmuel saying that Abdullah comes before Kiddush. And we had seven different opinions over there. Some of them said that we prefer to put Kiddush before Abdullah. Some of them said we prefer to put Abdullah before Kiddush. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying like this. I'm not a chacham, the chacham over there would represent, The Chacham over there represents Rabbi Yeshua, who's called in some places in the Gemara Chakima de Yudoi, the wise one among the Jewish people. He's one of the ones who said that you put Abdullah before Kiddush, and he gave a mushal for it, because like the king is coming to town, like the duke is coming to town and the king is leaving. You first escort out the king, then you welcome the duke. So that's a svara. But on the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, I don't agree with that svara. I hold that it's more important to put Kiddush first in order that you don't, doesn't look like you're, like you want Shabbos, like you want to be rid of Shabbos, like you want to do Abdullah earlier. So I don't, so loy hakiman, I'm not a chacham, meaning like Rabbi Yeshua, who's called a chacham. Veloy chayzan, I'm not a stargazer, it means, refers to Shmuel, who we know was an expert in astronomy. Veloy yechidan, I'm not like the yochid, like Rabba, who says that in the Girsa that we have anyway, Rabba is another one of the ones who says that Abdullah is before Kiddush, and Rabba calls himself Yochid. He says to himself, Ani Yochid ba'olos, Ani Yochid b'negoyim, that I'm uniquely qualified and knowledgeable in the halachas of olos and negoyim. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, I don't hold like any of those three, not like Rabbi Yeshua, not like Shmuel, not like Rabba. Ela Gamauna, rather I'm the one who learns, which refers to Rav, who was a Rosh Hashiva. The Sadauna Ana, and I'm Sadauna Ana, or actually Gamauna rather refers to Levi, because Levi over there is one of the ones who says that Kiddush comes before first, and the Gemara elsewhere, called, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that calls Levi the one who learned in front of the Chachamim, Gamauna Meloshon learning Torah. The Sadauna Ana refers as a hint to Rav, because Rav is called in the Gemara Reish Sidra, which means the Rosh Hashiva. The Chain Morin Bevei Medrash Kavosi, and they teach in the Beis Medrash like this, like me, which is what the opinion of the Rabbanon in that Gemara over there at the top of Kuf Gimel, they were also among the ones who said that Kiddush comes before Havdalah. So therefore, in Rav Nachman Yitzchok's phrasing, he's hinting at 6 out of the 7 opinions over there and saying, I disagree with 3 of them and I agree with 3 of them. I agree with the ones who say that Kiddush comes before Havdalah and not the other way around. Now the 7th opinion over there is Ma'abre de Rabbana, but Ma'abre de Rabbana lives at the same time as Rav Nachman Yitzchok. So okay, he's a contemporary Rav Nachman Yitzchok, doesn't have to address himself whether I agree or disagree with him. But that's why Rav Nachman Yitzchok is using this expression over here to hint to those 6 different opinions, 3 of which he agrees with and 3 of which he doesn't agree with. Okay. So the Gemara says, so that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, that's it. So the answer is, it's fine, Ravina, you bring a Braisa about Havdalah, but you should realize there's a big difference between Kiddush and Havdalah as far as that we want to make Kiddush as early as possible, whereas we don't want to make Havdalah as, well, when Havdalah by itself is to be made, then yes, we should make it as early as possible, but when we have a reason, when we have an excuse to delay Havdalah, namely in this case where the person only has 1 cup of wine, and the choices are either make Havdalah earlier, and then you're not going to have a cup of wine to bench over, or to first bench and use the cup of wine for that, and then delay Havdalah. Better to do that, because that way, not only, first of all, you're gaining, that way you have the cup of wine for benching as well as Havdalah, but also it's not like it's that important to have Havdalah first, because it's not important on the grounds of Chaviv Mitzvah Shaita, because on the other hand, you want to delay Havdalah in order to show that you don't just want to get rid of Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara says, by the way, this Braisa that Ravina quoted, where he was asking Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Shmamina mehomas nisatam. There are eight dinim that we can learn from this braisa. Number one, Shmamina Hamavdah B'Tfilat Tzarech Shiyavdil Alakos. Number one, we see from this braisa that even if a person said Havdalah in Shemoneh Esrei, he said Atachon Antonu, he still has to make Havdalah again on a cup of wine. Because we're saying, the braisa started saying, he comes home on Metzoy Shabbos. But Pashtus, it means he comes home from Shul. And he davened over there, and Pashtus, he said, Atachon Antonu in davening, and still we're saying that he has to use the cup of wine for Havdalah. Number two, Shmamina Brocha to Unakos. Number one, we learn from this Braisa that it holds that Birkas HaMazon requires a cup of wine. In other words, that no matter what, we're talking, because otherwise, why would we be saying that you should first bench, and especially according to Tosfos' explanation, that it means that we're actually allowing you to eat, unlike the usual rule, in order to be able to bench a la kois, when normally you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, but in this case we're allowing, obviously, because the braisa holds, you must use a cup of wine for Birkas HaMazon, so therefore you have no choice, you have to, and therefore you're going to use the cup of wine to do double duty. Now Tosfos discusses, on the face of it, then it sounds from our Gemara like you're required to do Birkas HaMazon with a kois, even when you're eating biyachid, although the Velt has the minute to do it only when you have 3 people together. So Tosfos discusses back and forth the question about that. Really, what it is that yeah, you are in principle, according to this Gemara anyway, you should be required to use a cup for birkas hamazon even when you're eating by yourself. Lamaisa, the velt is noyig to only do it when you have at least three people. And many people are noyig. In fact, I do this way as well, that you only use a kos when you have 10 people. Yeah, and in Hayom Yom, it says actually that you should do it even when you have three, like it says in Tosfos over here. So anyway, that's the second thing we learned from this braise. So that birkas hamazon requires a kos. Ushma min a kos shabrachat tzarech shir. We also see that the kos of birkas hamazon requires a minimum amount, because we're talking over here that, let's say, he has only a revius. If we were talking about that you don't need a minimum shear, then okay, so you take the revius that you have, divide it in two, half of it you can use for benching, half of it you can use for Abdullah. The fact that you can't do that obviously means that you hope that you have to use the full revius for each one. The Gemara actually is going to mention over here that the Gemara is actually going to mention over here that we are talking about maybe that you have a little more than a revius, but the point is you don't have two full revius. If you had two full revius, then there would be a problem. Then you'd use one for Havdalah and one for after Malat Malka. But the fact is you have only one. It would be between one and two, and since you can't divide it, because you need a full revius for each one, therefore the Braisa is saying that you use it for both. We also see from this that if a person makes a bracha on a cup of wine, he has to taste something from it, because otherwise, what would be the problem? Make Abdullah, don't drink the wine yet, then bench, then eat, then bench, and then you'll drink the cup of wine. Obviously, no. As soon as after the bracha hadgafen is made, you or somebody over there has to drink from that wine. Rashbam mentions over here that. It's fine if a kid drinks it. You have, for example, there are certain cases where one example is on Motzei Shabbos during 9 days when you can't drink wine. So therefore, ideally, you give it to a kid to drink. Only if you don't have a kid, you drink it yourself. You have a different example of the Rashbam brings from a Gemara in Erevin that we learned. But somebody has to be drinking from that wine. So because otherwise, again, what otherwise, if it weren't for that, if you weren't required to do that, then we would say that what you would do is you'd use it for Havdalah, you wouldn't drink it, then you'd sit down and eat, then you'd bench, and then you'd drink it. But no, we're saying that doesn't work, because after you've made a bracha, you or somebody has to drink something. Ushmamina tamay pognoi. We also see from this braisa that if you taste some of the wine, then you made it pogum, and therefore you can't use it for the next thing, because otherwise what we would say is you do have gala, then you drink a little bit of it. Again, we're talking about you have more than one revius, but less than two. So if you were able to use one, which is pogum, then no problem. You could drink a little bit of it. Then you have a revius left over for birkas hamazon, and then you would use it for birkas hamazon. The fact that you're not doing that shows that you can't do that. Once you taste from it, then already you make it pogum. Tosfos says that actually what you could do, for example, it's true that only drinking from the kos itself makes it ugly. You could, for example, pour a little bit into another keli, or you could dip your finger into it and taste a little bit. But Tosfos says when you have something like Havdalah or Birkas HaMazon where you're required to use a cup, then you have to dafka drink from a cup that contains a revius. So therefore, you can't pour it into another keli and then drink from that, because that defeats the whole purpose. But when it comes to just a regular cup of wine, then yes, what you could do is you could pour a little bit into your hand or take a little bit with your finger or whatever and drink. But here, that wouldn't work. What it does say in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, is if wine becomes pogum, you can add a little bit more wine to it and make it not pogum anymore. Fine, but here we're talking about he doesn't have any more wine. Another possibility it mentions in Shulchan Aruch actually is if the wine is not yet fully diluted, then you can add some water to it and then you'll be able to. But we're talking about here, evidently, that the wine was already diluted as much as it's supposed to, and therefore if you add more water to dilute it, then you're just going to ruin it. So therefore, that doesn't work. So therefore, that's why we're saying that you use the one cup for both Kiddush and for both Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon. Ushmamina ta'am mavdil. Another din we can learn from this braisa is even if you ate, you can still make Havdalah. Now we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn a discussion about that. We said that you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, unless you had started your meal beforehand, and then it's continuing into Matzah Shabbos. But what if a person did? What if a person sat down and had a meal, or not even sat down, but whatever, ate something before he made Havdalah? Is he able to make Havdalah at that point, or does it mean that now he can't make Havdalah that night? Maybe he can only make Havdalah the next morning. We see from this Braisa, not so, because we see from this Braisa that we're telling him to go ahead and eat his meal. Now, that's Tosfos says, that next here we see that on the face of it, we can't explain, like Rabbeinu Nissim, who says that we're talking about where he started a meal on Shabbos afternoon, and then it's continuing into Matzah Shabbos, because then that has nothing to do with Ta'am Mavdil. So it has to be, Tosfos says, we're talking about in this case, because he only has the one cup of wine, we'll make an exception and allow him to eat before Havdalah. But if we said Tom in Imavdil, which we're going to discuss tomorrow, then still that would mean he can't do Havdalah that night. So the fact that we're saying that he could shows that we hold Tom Imavdil, that even if he ate when he wasn't supposed to, nevertheless, he can still make Havdalah. That's the sixth thing that we learn. The seventh thing is a Shmamina Oyma Bez Kedush of Akoisachar. We see that when you only have one cup of wine, you can say two Kedushas on the one cup. Now, we learned the other day when we first brought this Braisa that normally you can't, because Ein Oysen Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, you're not supposed to do mitzvahs in bunches. But in this case, you have no choice, because you only have one cup of wine, therefore we make an exception and we allow you to. And the eighth thing we learn from this Braisa, Ushmamina Bishamahi Balibid of Yehuda, we see that this Braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of Bishamai. I said it before backwards. I had it correct. This is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Bishamai, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we had before, Machloitas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, what do Bishamai and this Hillel respectively hold, where Rabbi Meir had said, that the argument Bishamai Bishillo is only about what goes first, Mazon or Besamim and then Mazon. But they both agreed that Ner went first and Havdalah went last. That was Rav Meir's version. Then we had Rav Yehuda's version, was that they both agree Mazon goes first in this case when you only have the one cup of wine, and Havdalah goes last. And the Machloikas was about Mor and Besamim, what order do they go in? So now we see that this Braisa must be according to Rav Yehuda's version of Rav Meir, that you have Mor, first the candle, then the summon, because Bishillo would put it the other way around. Now, we can't say, the Rashbam adds, you can't say that this is Rav Meir's version of Bishillo, because since the Braisa is saying that you do them after the Mazon, that you first eat your meal, and then you bench, and then you do, and then you do Havdalah, that can only be according to Rav Yehuda, because Rav Meir holds that you don't have Mazon first anyway, according to the mayor, both the Shammai and the Sillel put Ma'ar first, put the candle first. But here the Braisa is saying, Mashalshon Kulon, that you put all the brachas after the Mazon, so that can only be according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now, if our Braisa is saying that you have first Ner, then Besamim, that would have to be Rabbi Yehuda's version of Besham. Okay. So those are eight things that we can learn from this Braisa. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, you really only have seven things. Tamay Pogma, the Kostra, Baracha, Tzarech Shir, Chodim Milsehi. Really, the two things that we're saying, that if you taste from the wine, you make it Pogum, and that you need a Shir, that you need a Revius, really both of those things are the same thing. Because unlike we're assuming before, that we're talking about where he has more than one Revius, but less than two, Rav Ashi is saying not necessarily. The Braisa could actually be talking about where you have exactly one Revius and Bahakikoma. So the Braisa is saying, my time of Tome Pogmoy, why is it that if you taste it, you made it Pogum? Mishum, the Kostra Bracha, Tzarech Shir, the reason is because a Kostra Bracha needs a minimum amount, meaning it needs a Revius, and now if you drink a little bit of it, then you have less than a Revius. So therefore, according to Rav Ashi, not Tosfos says, we are going to learn in a little bit, we're going to learn about this concept of Talmud Pogmoy. We're going to talk about now in these next couple of lines in the Gemara. Rav Ashi agrees that if you taste from wine, you make it Pogum. But he's saying that here in this Braisa, the reason why you can't taste from it is not so much because you're going to make it Pogum, but because then you're going to have less than a Revius and you need a Revius for both Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, by the way, Rav Yaakov Ba'idi Kofid Achatz Vapadima. Rav Yaakov Ba'idi would be makbid, even if the barrel, chatzva is a barrel, even if it was pogrom, let's say somebody drank from the barrel, then he would be particular about it and say that that wine is now pogrom and you have to add something from it. You have to add wine or water to it in order to make it not pogrom. On the side of it, he brings a different girsa the other flipping around him and the next one. Rav Idi Bar Shisha kofed a kos of gima. Rav Idi Bar Shisha held that you only have to be makbid if the cup is pogrom. Meaning, he said that if, for example, somebody drank from the chatzva, which is more like a bottle, then there's no problem. Not a barrel. So chatzva is more like a bottle. Then Rav Idi Bar Shisha held there's no problem with it only if somebody drank directly from the cup. Ma'abravashi would be particular even if the barrel had been drunk from. Now the Ashbam says even now we're not talking about a huge barrel. Somebody drank from that. There's no problem. We're talking about like a smallish barrel. So even that, he would be makbid on. That is the halacha. So if you have even somebody drank from the bottle, let's say, then it does become pogrom. You can fix it up from its gimma by adding a little bit of wine or a little bit of water to it. But now the Rashbam says that actually, since we're only saying that these amiroim were makbid on it, then that means they're makbid lachatzchila. But b'diavad, if all you have is wine that's pogrom, then you can still use it for kiddush or habdala or whatever. Tosfa says, so what are you talking about? We just said before that we're going to allow you to eat a whole meal before Havdalah when you only have one cup of wine, because if you drink a little bit of that wine, it's going to be pogrom, and then you can't use it for Havdalah. According to what the Rashbam is saying, if that's only a l'chatchiladika thing, how could we allow you to eat before Havdalah for the sake of that l'chatchiladika thing? However, Tosfa says, ro'i Rashbam l'smechol b'shasat chak, we can be soymech on the Rashbam in a pinch like that, and say that yes, if the only wine that you have is pogrom, and you don't have any way of making it non-pogrom, you don't happen to have any other wine or water to add to it to make it not pogrom, then b'di'evad you can use it for kiddush or havdalah, and that is in fact the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch.